following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late-night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, we appreciate our listeners joining us on this Thanksgiving Day. And Thanksgiving, I guess, traditionally is really all about football and exchanging broccoli casserole and pumpkin pie recipes. Isn't that what it's all about?
And the bird.
And getting ready for sales.
Well, birds. The big bird. And let me just say, I know that for some it's great joy, great fun. And for some, it will be the first of a holiday without a loved one that's typically by your side. And I say that just because I know people in this situation, and my heart goes out to you. But what we know is that God has given us a Thanksgiving Day. I say God has given us. The scripture says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Meaning, there is, it's not that God causes everything that happens. He does not. He gives people free will. But we can thank him for what we will learn. We can thank him for the tenderness, the compassion that we are given when we go through deep trials. And that has helped me on a personal level. Over and over and over, I could say, thank you, God, for what you want to teach me, what you are enabling me to experience as reality so that I can identify with others. So, this just putting that in perspective, but it also is interesting to learn facts or information. I could say there'd be things I would share that everybody would know. And then I can say also what I'm planning on sharing these two nights, tonight and tomorrow night, would be things that some of you will not know. And I say that because some people think, oh, Thanksgiving days, let's see, that had to do with the Civil War. Well, that was, there was a part of the Civil War, but that's not Thanksgiving Day in the United States. Let me just give a little history here. In 1621, the Plymouth Colony and the colonists there, they shared with the Wampanoag, that's the Indians, they shared an autumn harvest feast. And so technically that is known as the first Thanksgiving celebration, or at least that we know of in the colonies. Again, that's the year 1621. And for more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and the states. It wasn't until 1863, now that's where we're in the Civil War. In 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving Day to be held each November. Now, going back, in September of 1620, there was a small ship called the Mayflower that left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers. There were an assortment of people, religious separatists, seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith, and then other individuals that were excited about the new world. They wanted land ownership. And it was a difficult crossing of the ocean. It lasted 66 days, and when they dropped anchor, it was near the tip of Cape Cod, far north of their intended destination, in the mouth of the Hudson River. And 1 month later, the Mayflower crossed Massachusetts Bay. That's where the Pilgrims, as they are now commonly known, began the work of establishing a village at Plymouth. There was not mass murder. Some of you are hearing of things like that. Now, there was in another location in Jamestown some treachery, but this was a time of a brutal winter. Most of the colonists remained on board of the ship, where they suffered from exposure and certain outbreaks of contagious diseases. Only half of the Mayflower's original passengers and crew lived to see their first New England spring. And in March, the remaining settlers moved ashore, where they received an astonishing visit from members of a tribe that even greeted them in English. And a lot of people don't know that. They were very friendly, and they shared food with these new settlers. I think it's interesting that just be aware, you may be hearing information that's not accurate. And that's why it's so imperative for us to realize, let's just be thankful that we are given a focus to be thankful to God for what He has provided. It's always, there's going to be pain in life, but there's also peace and His presence.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. We are a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We thank you for that. To get in touch with our program, just call us at 800-917 if you'd like to speak with June about something going on in your life. You can call that number and we'll get you set up for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-917. We look forward to hearing from you. If you have questions about tonight's topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to hear from you and help you access the right resources, and maybe to help you or to help someone you know, and you'd be able to pass along some helpful information to them as well. Their number again, 800-488-HOPE. HOPE, 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. There you'll find new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources. It's at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's get to our caller for tonight. Tonight we have Hannah.
Well, hello, Hannah. Welcome to Hope.
Hello, June. It's such a good pleasure to be able to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm delighted that we're talking now. How can we help you?
Well, when I was young, I came pregnant at the age of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the church, and it was back then, because I'm 68 now, but back then it was a disgrace, you know, and you dealt with the rejection and what have you, and confusion abound in my head, so
mm-hmm.
much so that I thought, well, I'll just kill myself. So I went up to the roof. I had a flat roof at my grandparents' house, and I walked out on it, and I said, I'll just tumble head first and
mm-hmm.
kill myself. And I was about to lean over to do that, and I know it had to be the Lord said, but the baby didn't do anything, and I stopped because I didn't want to injure my son. And so I had him, and there were some rough periods of time in my life, confusion, hurt. I was abandoned by his father, and just a mixture of stuff. And then the confusion
yes.
as far as being in the church and not faithful to God's word, and it was just a rough time. Over the course of years, when he was very young, from the age of birth to, I'd say, about 12, we had a great relationship. I loved my son.
Mm.
I enjoyed being with him and talking to him and all the things that a mother could do with their young son.
Yes.
However,
mm-hmm.
I was not prepared for what do they call it now, a 20?
Yeah. I used to be a junior high director for 4 years, and oh, Hannah, the hurt that parents would feel. It's like, I've lost, I don't even know this child that I've loved so much, and you know, this precious relationship. And this is what is called a time of, it's pushing away from the parent, usually. Or parents, and it's called individuation in the psychological world of growing up and understanding child development. And it's then a point at which it's like the parent could say something that's absolutely wise, but because it's the parent, it's going to be resisted. Now, I could come in as a youth director, I could say the same thing, and it's golden. But not you, the mom. And yet we're saying the same thing. And so you have to. It is a change of a relationship, and it stuns some parents because they'll just be devastated, and they'll say, "I've just lost the whole relationship," and. It is a change of relationship, and many times it can be restored later. But it's just a tough time. And so I can promise I wish I could say, oh, you're the exception, but you're not at all. Not everyone, though, goes through that rebellion. Some go through it later. Some do the push, and I say rebellion, it can be a pushing away. It's like, I've got to have distance, and it's a hard time for many, many parent and teens, typically.
Well, for me, I was totally unaware of this. The thing that comes to mind that stuck throughout the decade was I was a working mom, and we had established, my son and I, that when he came home, he was to be home. There was a 2 hours gap before I was mm-hmm. depressed. So he was to come home and, you know, start homework, whatever. I mean, yeah. it's been, he's 45, so I don't, I know he had a 2-hour gap and he was to be home. I got home right. one day and he wasn't there. I went into panic mode. Mm-hmm. I drove up and down the neighborhood. I called people. I looked. I was frantic. I didn't know where he was. I called relatives. I didn't know what to do. He's 12.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking up at 10 o'clock at night into the house. Like, nothing. And I lost it. I said, whatever you were, you can go right back. And I put him out. And he, that was the first time he had ever felt me reject him to the point that he didn't know where to go or what to do. So he slept in the stairwell of the school. And then that morning when I was getting up the next morning, he comes in, comes home, and, you know, we didn't really talk about it, but I did tell him, I'm not going to have you come in like this. You have to obey the rules. All right, so time goes by. That was incident for me, number one. He probably remembers other things. But he's 14, and he's not home again. I don't know where he is. I'm worried. I'm calling. He doesn't have a cell phone. And he walks up at 3 in the morning. And I thought, oh, no, no, no. I was a self-willed child as growing up. And he contributed, he displayed the same sort of thing. And I said, you have to get out. And he did. I don't know where he went. But the next morning, almost time for school, comes in and does what he has to do to get ready for school and goes to school. But that set a pattern of me not knowing how to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And not having the support or anyone there to lead and guide me. Only thing I got from my relatives was, oh, you shouldn't do that. And then I said, well, what am I to do when he comes in at 3 in the morning? I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't do that. I tried to get him in Boys Club and Big Brother and my church, tried to get somebody to come along and mentor him. I had 3 brothers at the time, and they were busy with their lives, and, you know, they didn't want to take on or couldn't take on him. So I felt totally on my own, and the only thing I needed to do was to continue the habit that I had done. If he got on my nerves or he did something out, landish in my sight, he could not stay the night. All right, fast forward. Over the years, we have had some rockiness. He doesn't talk a lot, but he also blessed me with my only granddaughter, but he didn't support her. And he's a grown man now, and I'm talking to him to get him to realize this is important. Your father didn't support you, but you should support your own child. He became, of course, I'm doing a synopsis version. He became angry with me and wouldn't speak to me for almost 10 years.
But I was how long did you say?
About 10 years.
That's what I thought you said. I just want to make sure I heard it right. Okay. Wow. That is so, holding a grudge a long time.
Yes, it runs in our family. So I continue to call him. I would call him every week. And sometimes I would call, he'd answer the phone. I'm busy, talk to you later, click, that's all. So I had his brother by then, and his brother said, Mom, why do you keep bothering with him? I mean, he's not talking to you. Just leave him alone. And I said, no, can't do that, sweetheart. one Sunday, it was Mother's Day, and I just felt this need to ask him to forgive me for all the harm I inflicted on him coming up. And I did call, it went to voicemail, and I left this maybe 2 minute monologue saying how sorry I was and I wish I had been a better mother and please forgive me. And I was crying and being quite emotional. And I called him about a week later. I said, oh, did you get my voicemail? He said, yeah. And we've never talked about it to this day. We've never talked about it. But that did bring about a change, a course in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot more now, but very sensitive. And as long as the surface stuff, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into sometimes the conversation is one-sided. I can only talk to him about things he's interested in. If I bring up what I want to talk about, oh, that's stupid, that's dumb, oh, that's boring, I don't have time for that. You can be very curt sometimes, but I just take it and say, well, hon, you know, slowly he's getting better. His youngest brother told me, he said, Mom, he's very abusive to you. Don't take that. Don't take him just talking to you any kind of way. To bring it up to this decade, they both my sons live in Vegas, and I went out there to see them. They both picked me up from the airport. I'm there less than an hour, and my son argued with me about something really silly. And my youngest says, don't speak to Mama like that. That's disrespectful. And they get into a big argument. And they tussled. They actually went into a little tussling. They were trying to hurt each other, but they were trying to prove who was in charge.
Yeah, right.
It was awful. I've actually been in Vegas an hour. The two of you are doing this. This is not how I wanted to come out spend my time with you. So that's where we are so far.
Okay, well, let me put a bookmark there because I certainly have a few questions. And I want to compliment you that to call and ask forgiveness for what you know you need to ask is right.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. And we're recommending tonight the Keys for Living called Anger, Facing the Fire Within. We also have a helpful book on that. It's called The Answer to Anger. And either of those or any other topic that might be helpful to you, we can get those into your hands. Just call customer support. Again, the number 800-488-4673. We also, as we talk about this on Thanksgiving Day, thank you for tuning in to our program on this day. And what is interesting is that many of our founders, including those who pushed for Thanksgiving to be celebrated as a national holiday of Thanksgiving, were so dependent and so trusting in the words of the Bible. We have a Keys for Living as well called The Bible, Is It Reliable? Truth on Trial. And you can get in touch with us again, same number at customer support at 800-488-HOPE. Now, if you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life and on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, we would love to feature you and just have you call 800-NIGHT-17 to get that set up. Also, if you've been on Hope in the Night before and you'd like to give us an update, we'd like to hear the rest of your story for God's glory as you share how you were helped on the program and how in the time after that that you have been able to apply some of the things you've heard about the what God thinks about your situation and what He says about it, and then some practical steps that you've taken to help your situation. So give us a call. Either way, it's the same number, 800-NIGHT-17, 800-NIGHT-17. Let's return now to our call with Hannah.
Well, Hannah, thank you for describing several scenarios that were very challenging to you. Obviously, you were feeling pretty much alone because you said you didn't really have the support of people who could help you come up with answers of what to do when you have a 12-year-old who is changing and beginning to just, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they're doing is testing you out. They want to find out what will you do. And a lot of times it's a curiosity thing for them, not knowing. And so then you can get into a pattern. And this is what you were aware of. Just say we had this pattern that if he would come in and, you know, substantially, you know, like you mentioned, at 3 a.m. But, you know, you have to get out, you know. So that was your solution. And I understand. What I'm hearing is you were doing what you thought was best at the time. Now, when you said that he had a lot of anger, we're talking about this particular son, not your other son, I want to ask, do you believe you understand, and have you actually talked about his anger, or is that off limits at the moment?
Well, it's where we can say things like he was interested in a young lady recently, and we asked him, his younger brother and I asked him, have you told her about your anger issues? His reply was, oh, she is so sweet. I would never get mad at her. Only to have a month later something come up and they broke up. So it's something that we refer to, but we never deal with.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, if you would like. We have some excellent material on anger. And what I think I'll do is just give it to you. I'll send it to you as a gift from our ministry. And there might be a time where you would go through it, and I mean, after you've gone through it, and it may be that it would be appropriate for you to send it to In fact, I could send you two copies. One would be for you, one would be for him. But the concept would be this. You, after you go through it, you'd go, you know, I have just read something. I would love to know your opinion about it. It's on anger. And, of course, everyone has anger. Even the Bible says, be angry but do not sin. And yet, so many people have so many questions about anger. And but I would just love to know, if you would you be willing just to read, and you decide which of the 8 pages it would be. And then I can promise you, if it's of interest to him as he's reading, if he's willing to do this, then he'll go on and read it. But this is just to get him started. But just say, I would really, and don't say, I'm giving this to you because you need it. You just say, I would love to know your opinion. And you know,
I'm sorry. The only problem is I am now legally blind, so I can't read print.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my son is not a reader. He's more of a visual individual. I've sent him things, and even if it's an article, he doesn't read it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've sent him articles on glaucoma that I suffer from and wanted him to be aware of what he could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't read it. He just says, yeah, I got it.
Okay. That's not a problem. Well, I'll give you some, I'll give you the audio on it so that you can at least listen to it if you wish.
Okay.
Would you like that or not?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I'll make sure that you have that. And then if you, you know, would like, I could give you 2 of those, but that way if he could, if he would even listen just to a little bit of it, he may continue to listen.
Yes.
Is my point. Thank you for caring about him, because I know you've not given up on him, and that's huge. You know, parents initially, they represent who God is, because they have all the power and all. And children, when they hear the word God, they don't know what to think. Children are concrete thinkers. They can think table, chair, fork, knife, spoon, plate, glass. They think intangibles. It's later, it's after puberty in particular, that then so much is more conceptual and analytical, and that there's a whole other realm. But just to be aware that the role of a parent in those growing up years, not yet as a teenager, that role is a very significant role. And what you told me is you believe you had an excellent relationship with him up until he was about 12, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and I believe you. And so that's the foundation that that's why you're very important. Whether he acts like it or not, but your existence matters. And it is important then. What I appreciate that you've said, I think, is when you asked forgiveness, even though there was a delay, you know, over a week of him even acknowledging it, you had to ask, but you could tell there was a difference.
Yeah. He, okay. I think because we were in the midst of slowly the conversation started coming back. At first it was just he would talk to me maybe 2 minutes, and then it grew to hours. Now we do talk freely, but it's more geared to what he wants to talk about. That's the only problem that I face right now. It has to be what he wants to talk about. And he can be very condescending, insulting, hurt. And he told his youngest brother, I wake up angry and I don't know why. And I thought, oh, man. And he has had road rage where he's gotten out the car and gone up to the person's in the car and cursed them out and just confronted them. And I just fear. Regarding the COVID, he was at a restaurant and this guy didn't have his mask on. And he decided to tell him, you got to put your mask on. And I got into a physical conflict with this guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I fear for him because he is angry and he thinks everybody is stupid in the world. He's the only one that has any kind of sense. And I worry about that. And when I bring up topics that are close to the pain, he will not talk about it.
Well, fortunately, you're going to be giving him, and we'll just give him the CD version, and you could just ask him to listen to just the first CD, and you're really interested in his opinion, or whichever of the CDs that you think could be. That he would relate to. And, and pray ahead of time that the Lord will prepare his heart. Pray that he will want to, he'll have enough curiosity. Because it may just be, I don't know why she sent me this. I mean, he knows he's got anger problems, but still, it's usually... In fact, in a moment, we'll just actually talk about the issue of anger, because I'll just say also, for years, this was the number one topic. We have over 100 topics. Anger was the number one topic that people would order from our ministry.
Wow.
And it's not because I personally talked about it that much. I didn't teach on it. I can teach on it, and we have excellent material on it, but I could just, it's not a passion of mine like a lot of other topics are. I had to learn very early. I had to control any anger I had because it was not safe in my home. If my dad got upset, I was afraid he would hurt my mom. So I had to be calm.
Bringing hope in the darkest hours. We're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. And we're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, celebrating 35 years of ministry this year. Hope in the Night has been on the air for 26 years, and we just want to thank you for your prayers and support of our ministry. If you have questions or concerns about tonight's topic, you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. We have availability there for you Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'd be happy to hear from you and get the right resources to you. Keys for Living we're recommending tonight called Anger, Facing the Fire Within. And their number again at customer support is 800-488-4673. You may also email them if you prefer. It's customer support at hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have regarding topics and resources discussed in a particular program, and we'd be happy to point you to the right resources there, get those ordered for you, and get them on the way. So again, customer support at hopefortheheart.org. Let's return to the conversation with Hannah.
Okay, Hannah, we're going to talk about anger. We're going to talk about relationships, but my understanding is there's something else you wanted to bring up.
Yes. In my culture, we never thought that counseling was important. I mean, it's kind of like it was this time of stick and stone may break my bones, but words would never hurt me, which was wrong. That's not mm-hmm. true. So there was a lot of things that even in my history, we suffered as black persons coming out of slavery. There was no PTSD counseling for us. And mm-hmm. so we were always limping along, trying to put things together. There was so much confusion on our part, physically, mentally, spiritually, the whole gambit. And that has translated for me into my dealing with my sons and other persons. And he talks, he's angry about a lot of injustices, and he's very involved in the Black Lives Matter. And in trying to counsel him, I'm at a loss because he is a, well, most parents say this, but he is a bright kid, you know. He's mm-hmm. opinionated. He really researches things as long as it's visual. He doesn't read, but he will check out the History Channel, the Animal Channel, the Discovery mm-hmm. Channel. He'll do all these documentaries, and then he'll formulate his own opinion and try to share it with people. And I think that that has caused him to put up another blockade, not only with me, but with others, because he's constantly always saying, people are just stupid. People are stupid. Mm. And so I wanted to also insert that in the conversation, and maybe you can mm-hmm. give me some tools there.
Well, there. It sounds like there's not a lot of self-awareness. In other words, he thinks he's right, and if he comes off in a way that is offensive, he thinks they're stupid for not seeing his point, and yet it's going to be very difficult for him to have healthy relationships when he just assumes everybody else is stupid, because that's not true. And so that's, though, this is not something that he would readily hear from you, even, but, you know, you have to earn a relationship. This is so hard when there is such a need, and anger is only going to hurt him. In fact, the Bible is very clear about all kinds of if you will, counsel against, the fact there are different levels of anger, and different types. When I say types, there is what we have, the general word anger, and then, but there's indignation, which is like, it's like at times justifiable, or it appears justifiable anger. This is when Jesus went into the temple, and it was very clear he was angry, or the word indignant was used when he was when he saw the children. The disciples were trying to prevent the children from coming to Jesus, and the Bible says when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, meaning that's a type of anger. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So there's indignation. There's wrath, which always has this desire to avenge. Now, God will be avenging, but if we are trying to spend our time paying back people for what they've done, we can be in trouble. It's not going to be profitable. There's fury and rage. You already mentioned rage. You mentioned he has road rage. Rage is a blazing anger that results in loss of self-control. It's often to the extreme of violence. Some people even call it, at times, there can be a time of temporary insanity, because somebody can do something, even shoot someone, and they'll say, I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. Yeah, I understand it, the gun's in my hand, but I didn't do it. They don't, it's because you can be so angry, there's a whole body chemistry thing that takes place, yet we're still responsible. And then fury is this fiery anger, so fierce that it just consumes common sense. And so what you're probably hearing as I describe this is there are some areas where he definitely fits those extremes, and you love him. This is your son, and you want to do anything that will help him. And so that's why I'm thinking that this can be beneficial for him, because you're saying, what do I do? One thing is to learn the area of weakness where you can pray for the right timing to talk about something. But it's not talking about him, because he may be too, I'm going to use the term fragile, even though he wouldn't appear fragile, but it may be he would be so offended that anything could be presented that it could be his fault. Now, I'll tell you one thing I do, and just a thought. There have been times I'll take an approach of talking about someone else, and then I'll say, well, what would you do in this situation? I know somebody who blah, 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 and you tell a story. Now, this is exactly the approach that a godly man used with David. King David, in regard to the sin of Bathsheba. And he starts telling Nathan the prophet, he's telling this story. about this man who has all this sheep, all, just lots of sheep. And then here's this one man with a pet sheep. And yeah. There's a man who comes in and from out of town. And so the man with all these many, many sheep takes the sheep of the only sheep that this other man had. And David, of course, gets irate. He said, well, he's going to right that wrong. And then that's when Nathan says, you are that man. Yes. When I see, now, what you're doing, now, I'm not saying for you to do it like that. I'm just saying you can use another illustration and you can ask his opinion and just say, you know, but you can present some principles that are going to be insightful because it relates to him. So you can earn the right to be heard I'm going to use a phrase, and I don't mean it literally, but for you to become the expert on anger or the expert on the things that involve him. Because if you can, then you're speaking his language. You have to learn the language that the other person is speaking. Just like I have differences with, like one sister in particular. I have differences with two sisters, actually. But I'm always aware I've got to learn to speak that sister's language. And sometimes, and we cancel out each other's votes, you know, and I used to be the epitome of everything she did not want to be. Now, you'd think I'm better than sliced bread. Not that I eat bread, but my point is, but I've had to learn to talk in ways and learn about what she is passionate about and be able to present possibly a different opinion because she's invited me to do that. So my point is, it's kind of like if you're speaking English and your son is speaking Russian and all he knows is Russian, you can be caring. Beg your pardon?
There's no communication.
That's right. He can be talking all the Russian, and I can't remember my Russian. I mean, I've been in Russia several times, but I know da for nyet for no. I would be totally at loss. I'd have to have an interpreter, and that's what I've always used when I'm in Russia. But the bottom line is we've got to find ways to connect. And see, that's what I like about you. You want to find a way to connect. And it's not just for the sake of connection. I sense that it's more than that. You want to be able to make an investment in his life. Am I right about that?
Yes, because I am conscious of the fact that he rejects God because of me and what I've related to him in the past. And I want to correct that.
Okay. Well, what if we talk about this? Would you like for us to talk in the future?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what we could do is we could work up a plan. And the plan would be, how do you start? Where do you begin? And, you know, and meanwhile, there are certain things for you to be doing that speak his language of love. And I say his language of love. We'll talk about there are things that touch people. Somebody the other day said, I know you don't love flowers. I said, well, I like flowers. But she said, I've heard you on the program that really doesn't touch your heart. I said, well, they die. Now, some people just still, it doesn't matter if they die. They love flowers. Well, but there are different things that touch our hearts. And so I want you to be thinking about that. What touches his heart? What would be meaningful to him? What would be his language of love? Meanwhile, we're going to send you our material on anger. You hang on to hope.
We will send the keys for living on anger called Facing the Fire Within. We'll send that out to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge because of your generous support of our ministry. If you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate. And we thank you for that. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also find us wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.